ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनस्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। అర్జున ఉవాచ అర్జున ఉవాచ కైలింగైస్త్రీన్ గుణాని తాన్ కైలింగైస్త్రీన్ గుణాని తాన్ అతీతో భవతి ప్రభో అతీతో భవతి ప్రభో కిమాచార కథం చైతాన్ కిమాచార కథం చైతాన్ త్రీ గుణానదివర్తతే అర్జున ఉవాచ కైర్లింగై శ్రీగుణాని తాన్ అతీతో భవతి ప్రభో కిమాచార కథం చైతాన్ త్రీగుణానదివర్తతే శ్రీభగవానువాచ ప్రకాశం చ ప్రవృత్తిం చ ప్రకాశం చ ప్రవృత్తిం చ మోహమేవ చ పాండవ మోహమేవ చ పాండవ నద్వేష్టి సంప్రవృత్తాని నద్వేష్టి సంప్రవృత్తాని ననివృత్తాని కాంక్షతి ననివృత్తాని కాంక్షతి శ్రీభగవానువాచ ప్రకాశం చ ప్రవృత్తిం చ మోహమేవ చ పాండవ నద్వేష్టి సంప్రవృత్తాని ననివృత్తాని కాంక్షతి ఉదాసీనవదాసీనః గుణైర్యో న విచార్యతే గుణావర్తంత ఇత్తేవ యోవతిష్టతి నేంగతే ఉదాసీనవదాసీనః గుణైర్యో న విచార్యతే గుణావర్తంత ఇత్తేవ యోవతిష్టతి నేంగతే సమదుఃఖసుఖస్వస్థః సమలోష్టాశ్వకాంచనః తుల్యప్రియప్రియో ధీరః తుల్యనిందాత్మసంస్తుతిః సమదుఃఖసుఖస్వస్థః సమలోష్టాశ్వకాంచనః తుల్యప్రియప్రియోధీరః తుల్యనిందాత్మసంస్తుతిః మానాపమానయోస్తుల్యః తుల్యో మిత్రారిపక్షయోః సర్వారంభపరిత్యాగీ గుణాతీతత ఉచ్యతే మానాపమానయోస్తుల్యః తుల్యో మిత్రారిపక్షయోః సర్వారంభపరిత్యాగీ గుణాతీతత ఉచ్యతే। We have seen up to verse 21 where Arjuna asked Shri Krishna when he talks about the three gunas and a person who has gone beyond the three gunas, Arjuna wanted to know how to go beyond three gunas and what is the state of the person who has gone beyond the three gunas. This is similar to what he asked in the second chapter. What is the state of a perfect human being? Because one who goes beyond the three gunas is a perfect human being. So he asked in 21, what marks has he who has crossed over these three gunas? O Lord, what is his conduct and how does he go beyond these three gunas? What are the marks by which I can find out who's gone beyond? And what is his conduct when he is conducting himself in the world? Because when a person goes beyond the three gunas and becomes one with Atma and becomes a perfect soul, doesn't mean that he will die and go away. He still continues to live in the world. He conducts himself in the world. How does he conduct? How do I know? And then how does he go beyond these three gunas? What is the way to go beyond these three gunas? You have to go beyond these three gunas by dealing with these three gunas properly. The way to rise above action is going through action. The way to rise above relationships is by going through relationships. Not running away from relationships. So that is why all that you need to do is bring in knowledge in between. That's all. Why we keep on harping on knowledge, knowledge, knowledge? Once knowledge comes, things settle. That's all. All that matters is knowledge. As long as you continue to remain ignorant or deluded, you continue to suffer. So the permanent solution is in gaining that knowledge. Your relationships become better once you gain knowledge and you become better. You haven't done much change in the external world. Along with that, if you continue to change the external world and if the external person, other person with whom you relate also changes, it becomes even better. But the primary factor is knowledge. So how do I rise beyond these three gunas? Being in the world. You can't run away. You got to face the challenges of the world. This is precisely what the entire Gita talks about. So in other words, Gita is nothing but manual of right contact. Gita is not something that makes you run away. In fact, a person who wanted to run away, it made him come back, contact properly. So Gita is nothing but technique of right contact. That's what Arjuna is asking. What way do I deal with the gunas so that I go beyond gunas? How do I go beyond gunas? Please teach me that. Now next verse. 22.
श्री भगवान उवाच प्रकाशं च प्रवृत्तिं च मोहमेव च पांडव न द्वेष्टि संप्रवृत्तानि न निवृत्तानि कांक्षति श्री भगवान उवाच प्रकाशं च प्रवृत्तिं च मोहमेव च पांडव न द्वेष्टि संप्रवृत्तानि न निवृत्तानि कांक्षति.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha, the Blessed Lord said, Prakasham cha pravrittim cha. Prakasha means light, pravritti means activity. And moha means delusion. Basically they are referring to sattva, rajas and tamas. Light refers to sattva. Activity refers to rajas. Activity basically fulfilled by desires, hence rajas. And delusion refers to tamas. So, sattva, rajas and tamas, O Pandava, O Arjuna, he hates not when present. not longs for them when not present,
when absent. This is the first thing he says. In 22 he asks for the grace. In 22, 23 and 24 and 25 he starts answering the question. And first he talks about how to overcome the gunas, the influence of the gunas. The gunas are influencing us constantly. We already studied. When sattva influences, where are you attached to? Knowledge, books, information. This is what you are attached to. When sattva is predominating, happiness, permanent happiness, that will give you sugar, clarity. You are constantly attached to that. You are more interested in library, you know, these sort of things. Any lectures, any new books, especially that can give you peace. You know, that. When rajas predominate, you are attached to action. Acquisition. Aggrandizement. It feeds greed. And then when tamas predominates, sloth, sleep, procrastination, shortcut methods. You know, that is where you are attached. These are gunas influencing it. Because inside you are not strong yet. In the case of a man who is not there, it doesn't have any influence. That's all. It is there, but no influence. So in this context, I told you, if you remember that last scene, rather than Beautiful Mind movie. Beautiful Mind movie, they ask him, are they still there, those characters that you used to imagine? Do they come, those imaginations? You remember what he says? He says, yes, they do. But I've learned to ignore them. Gunas are there. Outside, there's nothing but sattva, rajas, tamas. Inside also, sattva, rajas, tamas will come. But he is not influenced by those gunas. So, the way to overcome the influence of gunas and transcending them is spoken in 22, 23 and 24. And in 25 is where he starts talking that state of a man of perfection. So first he says in 22, the presence or absence of these gunas makes no difference to the person. Meaning, if you want to transcend the gunas, you should not be dependent on the gunas. You should start becoming independent of the gunas. How is that possible? I told you, any independence is possible only when you become dependent on something higher. The highest is Atma. By becoming dependent on that, you become independent of the gunas. Remember this. Again, I gave another example before. The snake around Shiva's neck inquires about the welfare of the eagle. The snake was not around Shiva's neck. It is scared of the eagle. Eagle will finish off the snake. But around Shiva's neck, it is able to inquire, are you okay? How are you? All well? How is everybody at home? From where is that snake getting the strength? Shiva. So, unless and until you have put in that effort of what? Daily study, reflection and strengthening your personality, your dependence on these gunas will continue. So he says, in the case of a person who's reached there, the presence and absence makes no difference. In life, no. You want to be stuck. If they are there, it's okay, enjoy them. If they are not there, you don't get scared because you focus on something else. See, even in many companies, productivity suffers because they get into micromanagement. You should have system where even pilferages are stopped. But beyond that, still there will be some pilferages. You should write it off. You know, in accounts they write a good riddance. Yes. Knowingly you are allowing such filth with you. Because if you start focusing there, you may save those 5,000, 10,000 rupees. But at the higher level, you will not be able to progress. You understand what I am saying? So this sattva, rajas, tamas is the part and parcel of this world. And at times, tamasic gunas from people outside, from stuff outside, from within, can manifest. You stay objective good.
So if we set this body first thing, is that one can be aware of these three gunas present in the person at any point of time, the sattva, the rajas and tamas, and yet so one doesn't have to be worried about any particular guna predominating at that point of time, and what is it, not to hate it. So if you're not judging it, you're not...
Don't resist it. That is part of life. See, everybody has sattva, rajas, tamas, right? So suddenly somebody may manifest their tamasic tendencies. Now why are you getting affected by that? You understand, this is tamasic. See, Delhi has a climate and Delhi has weather. Weather may be stormy, but climate is the whole thing, not just that particular day. So climate of a person may be predominantly sattvic. But some tamas is there in that person also. Some rajas is there in that person also. If that is manifesting, 100% there. So whether that, in our case what happens, we are longing for such environment, longing for such company. What is binding is your longing, not the presence. If presence has to bind, then everybody will be bound. It's my mind that is getting entangled. Remember my sentence. I stepped on a thorn. Thorn is there. I am stepping on the thorn. Therefore, I am getting tricked by the thorn. Thorn did not come walking and get into my flesh. So the gunas are there. The presence or absence are affecting me. Why? Because of my expectations. Because of my longing. Then the guna that I expect is present, I am happy. When the guna that I don't expect to be there is present, I am happy. When I go to a particular get together, I want to see only certain people, and only they are there, I am very happy. When a person whom I do not want to be seen, I do not want to see, is there, I get upset. It's not that person, it's my mind. Are you with me?
So what about the episode? This is preconceived, what you said, that you're expecting somebody
and
you don't want. Sometimes
that is... You're expecting somebody, no more.
Like your example, where I enjoy because I enjoy that company. Like I love coming to see these people. But maybe there's an ex who I do not like, maybe I hope she doesn't come. That's a preconceived notion that's already set in my mind. Understand it. But how do you handle episodes?
Something happens.
Like
a situation.
Exactly. Change. How does it change? It doesn't change. Any situation, anything, world, prakriti, means all three will be there.
All?
Three. Sattva will be there, rajas will be there, tamas will be there. The moment I understand
that.
That
time to take a corrective measure, you may have to... Like he went to
war. We are not talking about corrective measures at all. In fact, I have mentioned this to you before also. A person who is calm and composed is only capable of taking the correct corrective measures. When you are angry, when you are disturbed, in the name of taking corrective measures, you are bound to take wrong things. And then to rectify that, you may spend another 20 days. Who can really
take the corrective measures, appropriate corrective measures. One who is balanced. That is all I am trying to say. That is all Vedanta is saying. So the moment you understand this is part and parcel of life, this is how it is. Now we are not suggesting, therefore don't take corrective measures. That is not the scope of the discussion. The discussion here is...
That doesn't mean tamasic. That's what I'm asking. That's my question.
What?
That's supposing corrective measure. I take a corrective, like, I need to tell her off that you don't know what you're saying is not correct, and I may raise my voice, and I get angry, whatever. But it is not that I'm angry or angry. I'm angry to tell her that, you know, back off.
Simple.
So that is that.
Why is saying that? No, it's not tamasic. But why is saying that? If you are saying that with complete control and awareness, and having said that, you are cool like a cucumber, then you are okay. But many times what happens is, many people say this in anger and then start justifying. No. Please understand, it's a very high state.
No, no, but it's still a reaction, that's what I'm saying.
It's not a reaction if you do the way you said. If you are reacting, it is out of affectation. It's a response. If it's a response, see, I'm in a world, there is a tiger trying to attack me. Now, I understand tiger's nature is like this. Right. Now, with that, now, I am trying to see how I can save myself from this tiger at the same time, if possible, without injuring the tiger. But a situation may be where I might have to little bit injure the tiger or do something. I take a call and do it. That is objective response. That's not a reaction. Anger primarily is a reaction. And the act of anger when somebody expresses out of response, as a response, may appear as anger, but that's not anger. Because anger and awareness don't go together. When you are angry, you are not aware. When you are aware, you cannot be angry. So what you are doing is, out of awareness, you are dealing with the situation the way it has to be done.
But in this whole thing, are you also not preconceived about the nature of tiger? That is also your own judgment.
That is awareness, not...
No, what do you mean by preconceived? Did that ferocious nature of the tiger is ferocious through observation?
He's not always ferocious. No. He attacks when he's not ferocious. Yeah. I'm talking... tiger is tiger. I'm talking among our society or human.
That is precisely what I am saying. You have, if you go back and read the notes that we have spoken before, it clearly said, animals have what is called as collective vasanas. Human beings have what is called as individual vasanas. Collective vasanas means all tigers will behave in a particular way. All deer will behave in a particular way. All lions will behave in a particular way. Majority. One or two exceptions will be there. But when it comes to human beings, each human being has an individual vasana. Meaning, he can be like appearing like a cow and be ferocious like a tiger. Or he may be outside ferocious, inside cow. Each human being is a very interesting character. So you must have some basic assessment. Out of the assessment, we are not trying to say that judge the fellow and say that is him. No. Because we have always said that quotation of George Bernard Shaw. What? He said, my tailor is the most intelligent fellow. Why? Because every time I go, he takes fresh measurements. Similarly, I have a general assessment. Like, for example, I conduct classes in different places. Right. So now, after few classes, I have a general assessment about each and every class. So that accordingly in that class, I use certain examples, certain things. Are you with me? Some basic assessment. So like that, then I have some basic assessment about a person. Right? Then I know, okay, this person has this much of support, this much. I will not be perfect in my assessment, but some assessment.
this helps me to accept him or her. Now that doesn't mean I don't condone certain things that needs to be rectified, and that is my duty, even in me or outside. Now all this discussion that we are having now is not the scope of the words, but you are asking question and answer.
No, it is related to the
guna. It is related. Everything is related. I am not saying. Hindi word is saying the presence or absence that makes no difference to him. He doesn't long for the presence, doesn't hate the absence. Therefore, that is the case of a man of perfection. Having said that, when you go and you see certain shortcomings which requires to be corrected, and that's your obligation, that's your duty. You must correct it. I am saying you must correct it.
I think the assessment is individual. Like she may love her, I may hate her. But she is the same person. So it's still individual, right?
See.
So she doesn't have the same mark.
Are you suggesting that you are hating because of assessment? No, please understand. That's what I'm trying to say. I have a certain assessment about Delhi. Okay. Let us assume that her assessment and my assessment about that person of Delhi is same. Are almost similar. But still, she likes Delhi, I hate Delhi. Why? Because I expect, I wish Delhi would have better. Would have been like London, would have been like Hong Kong, would have been like this. Therefore, my likes and dislikes are coming, and therefore I am hating. Her likes and dislikes, or maybe her likes are suiting this, or maybe her likes and dislikes may not suit this, but still she is able to intellectually understand. I may not like Delhi weather, but Delhi is like this. Therefore, with the knowledge, she doesn't hate Delhi. So with knowledge she may not hate Delhi, or she may like this, therefore there is no hatred. In my case, I may not have knowledge, but I may have dislike for this without having assessed. Therefore I am constantly grumbling.
So we are saying the same way, I am saying the same thing, that you know it's your own personal.
Exactly, I am trying to tell you, affectation is not because of assessment.
How? This is assessment only?
No. Shweta, I have an assessment about
your personal assessment. Oh, assessment, no acceptance.
Acceptance. You are, I am assessing you in a particular level. She's assessing you in the same
thing.
You are not suiting my life.
Whether you are accepting it or you are not accepting it is different. That's the difference.
And I think that's the difference.
That everybody has to be. You accept certain things in the... In the...
They are
Confusing the word assessment with judging. Judgment is where your personality comes. In assessment it's objective. I am objectively assessing, not your, in other words what Abhiji is trying to say is that, you know, my mind, let's say I am predominantly Satvic or predominantly Rajasic or predominantly Tamasic, that influences my assessment. Can you make an objective assessment about a person?
Yes, what I am saying is that we should deal every episode as an episode and not ask or keep the person in mind.
Of course,
when you say that the tiger is ferocious, it is not fair to call a dog. All dogs are not the same. Every dog, we all have dogs, every dog is different.
General this thing is that don't do that, or tiger don't. If you threaten, then otherwise the tiger will come and sit on your hand, like that image.
Sure.
But If you threaten it, it will attack you.
No, but that's your in your mind, right? That that
no,
if you don't stay away.
Because if you
similarly with humans, if you're already preconceived, I'm saying that in this, does it mean that
the preconceived way you're saying is
that so? Does this mean that you react to the
according to you, preconceiving the tiger is precious?
That's what you just said, didn't you?
I'm asking you. According to you.
No, I know.
Do you know the tiger is ferocious or you preconceive the tiger is ferocious?
No, I don't. I don't judge him at all. I mean, I take a tiger as it comes. We go to see tigers, every tiger is different. They tell you that this tiger will stay away from because he'll attack. This tiger is friendly, he'll come to the car, don't worry.
So some general characteristics of things.
Suddenly one this may come, that is different. But general assessment, Swami is saying. In that, you may not go wrong, but to think that that assessment has to be perfect every time you meet that person, that is wrong. But to say that, that is gone, don't take it, that's wrong. You have a certain assessment, take it.
No.
That will help you.
Okay.
Because most cases, people are not putting in effort. Are putting in effort, maybe not enough. The change is not yet happened. Are you with me? So you don't have to identify assessment, oh yeah, but that's no. It helps. But don't get fixed in. You must have some assessment. It helps you. It's a basic assessment.
And it's not adjustment, it's an objective assessment.
Absolutely, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not an assessment influenced by my class, nor is it a judgment that I'm fixing and that's it, they are gone cases, they will not be changed. No. There's a fair amount of understanding of a certain person's gunas. Like Arjuna, like Duryodhana, like Karna. Some adjustment you must have. And everybody is constantly changing. World is not a static millennium. Therefore, you cannot say that he or she will be the same tomorrow. So therefore, it's foolish to say that my previous assessment, I will have to say that would be the same assessment today also. Right? But I keep my previous reference point. That's all I say. Keep the reference point. Never lose that. And if it is changed now, that becomes a prescription. Right? The person has lost weight. So the gunas size changes. Right? So keep that. That's why you know sometimes when you go to the tailor, they give you that number, the serial number. So if you refer to that number, if you say, sir, my kurta size is same, so I am not coming, I'm just sending the cloth to the driver, that 44 usage.
So
would
you say
it's
like I don't carry my personal baggage about the person based on my experience, but I have the objective assessment. So that though I'm looking at the person afresh every time there's an episode,
I keep it.
I have the objective assessment, which doesn't bring my body.
So many cases you will see that they have not yet changed. Very slight change may be there, but it's not a perceptible change. But you will never hate the person, because first of all, first and foremost, you have split the gunas and the person. Like we have said time and again about what Jesus quotes, he says, hate the sin and not the sinner. Because nobody is a sinner. Everybody is essentially Atma. It's a Prakriti that has the different gunas. So when I understand, this is coming in the next verse. So when I understand that, then what happens? I will never hate anything.
So would it be like show your anger but don't feel it?
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm just asking.
See, yes, show your anger, don't feel it. What it means is, you do not have anger in
don't
you.
Don't carry.
That in other words, like Swamiji says, to be, Swamiji uses a different kind of a phrase. He says, use your temper, don't lose your temper. You understand? When you say anger, generally, it is a phrase used for losing. Generally, when you see a person who is angry, his hands are shivering, his blood pressure is increasing, he is sweating, he is not able to think properly, he takes time to become rested again. All this is, which means he is reacting. It's not a response. But if you can understand that the situation is going out of hand and you consciously say, like I said, when you are saying it, you are in full control. And having said also, I use the word full letter, kukumbha. You did not have anything personal. You just said it and moved. So that you don't have anything personal against them or for them. Just said it in the context it has to be said and you move. Then what you say is correct. Then you did not feel the anger, you just express it. because you thought in that situation this is the best way to be expressed, so you probably slightly raised your voice. But saying all this, it sounded nice to the ears, but to be doing it, you need to be really having control over your emotions. It is done by a lot of Mahatmas. It's not easy. Very often what happens, we may have something like 30% control. So we start with the 30% and suddenly in the bargain we may start losing it. That is why these are things every time I say, I try to kind of explain it a bit. Because otherwise what happens? I know one person in Abu Dhabi, the class member, which every now and then quotes that sometimes it's better to be cruel, to be kind. Not better, the quotation says, sometimes you have to be cruel, to be kind. He goes on quoting it. So I tell him, listen, please understand that correctly. The word sometimes, in the quotation, the word sometimes is very, very important. Otherwise, you will be cruel all the time quoting Shakespeare and quoting Milan. Therefore, generally we say, err on the safer side. Assume relatively while you are growing, assume that you are still not having perfect control over anger and then handle it. But if you think at some times you can handle it, good, no problem. And even if you lost it, learn from it and correct. This is the way of go. But when we talk about certain conditions. So come back to us. The presence and absence of the gunas does not influence the persuasive light activity or even delusion of Pandava. He hates not when present. Meaning there is no mental presence. Similarly, nor longs for them when absent. Now what happens to our mind? The day we say fasting, we long for food. Mind, generally. The day maunam, we long to speak. In this case, if it is not there, no problem. If it is there, something which he doesn't like, no resistance. Clearly accepts what is there. This is all he says in this verse. Now, when you move in the world, the way to transcend the gunas is by being objective to that gunas. That's all he says. Why understand his their mission? And they go by that mission, he doesn't identify with the gunas. I can't afford to get involved in any of this. I got to move. See, when I am interested in reaching Atma, there will be distractions. I can't allow these distractions. Atma ko, I mean, abilitically goal mantra, jobi goal. You have a certain goal. When I want to go to certain goal, there will be lots of distractions. Distractions from the family side, distractions from within, from the body side, distractions from outside sources. But I must keep aside those distractions and continue. You observe any achievers, they will do that. Like I told you, my colleague here, Alok Chopra ji, is there, his father lost his eyesight. In fact, he was about 70s, he lost his eyesight. But his energy level was something like a 25-year-old man. He still continued running the trust that he was running. He still continued writing letters to the government, to the editors, newspaper, trying to bring a change, whatever he thought he could do. He continued. He had a stenographer who would come and type it for him. He would dictate. She'll read from the newspaper. She'll say, from where is he getting? He's not identifying with the distractions, with the shortcomings. Oh, my eyesight is not there. But on the contrary, there are people, If you meet them, they will talk about their knee not being alright, or the eyesight not being alright. Anybody who goes, they will talk. There are people who have achieved, they are not talking about it at all. They have maybe serious, much more serious issues. Because their identification is not. That is why in the book he says, thus he withdraws his identification with the Buddhas that shroud the self, thus remaining indifferent. This word indifference can create problems. Therefore, put it as objective. Thus remaining objective towards their presence or absence. My focus is on the goal. So I am not getting distracted by this gunas. And such a person only becomes absolutely capable of crossing over gunas. See, understand this little deeper. Now, I am seeing this cup here. My attention falls on the cup. Now, when my attention falls on the cup, what happens?
You're observing it, you get engrossed in that.
The more my attention is on the cup, my attention is not in any one of you, on any one of you. World is out of focus. I am focusing on the cup. When I focus on you, the cup is out of focus. Right? So when the gunas are there, if my attention goes there, then my goal is out of focus. If I keep my focus on the goal, presence and absence of the gunas is out of focus. By focusing on them, our energy, the thoughts go towards them, and then start getting collected around them, then they start binding me. So, remember the same logic, the logic doesn't change. We keep saying, no, Vedanta says, worries of the past, uncertainties of the future should not be there. It is not there in children. Then suddenly people ask, then if you have to keep the past and future, then how do we not plan? Should we not plan at all? For which, what was the answer given? He said, planning is different from anxiety for the future. How are they different? Anxiety for the future means your mind itself goes to the future. Planning for the future means what? Your intellect takes the mind to the future, while in the present, which is planning, is a part of the present action. So planning for the future is a present action. Are you with me? Similarly, when my mind itself goes to the past, that is what is referred to as worries of the past. But when in a context, I want to learn something from my previous experience, so what am I doing? I'm consciously taking my mind to the past, I'm learning, I'm bringing it back. That means it's a present action. So, learning from the past is a present action, planning for the future is a present action, both are done by the intellect. Worry and anxiety is the action done by the mind by itself. Similarly, now, if I now consciously take my mind to the gunas and bring it back, then I will not get entangled by the gunas. Are you with me? But if my mind by itself goes to the gunas, when my longing is there, my hating is there, then what happens? My thoughts circle around that gunas, then I am bound by those gunas, then I can never cross over. So anything, for the matter, if you want to cross over, we are using gunas here because the fact is that anything you want to cross over, gain little knowledge and faith, you trust me, you will cross over that. Anything. If you are like skipping running away, then you will not cross over.
You have to process intelligence.
you gain knowledge about it, you also develop your strength of intellect, and you also gain other things in life, knowledge. And with this strengthened intellect, you face it. You will see, you will suffer. That's why in our scriptures, they don't condemn anything. They just say, this is not conducive for sattva guna, not conducive for rajo guna, not conducive for tamo guna. This is going to increase this, this is going to increase this. So therefore, accordingly, you deal with it. Nothing should be condemned, but at the same time, you need to cross beyond that to see the truth. But if your mind is running away, you will be suffering. The fellows who hate gunas, they will be stuck by gunas. And the fellows who long for certain gunas, they will also be stuck by gunas. So first you got to learn to be objective. Neither hating nor loving. That is what we keep saying. If you are part of an ashram or an environment, there, whatever they give, you may have your independent license. Right. But whatever they give, you learn to survive on it. Now what happens over a period of time with the knowledge and this practice, your mind also stops hating and craving. But you may still continue to have, because of your upbringing in certain places, you may still continue to have a certain taste, liking for certain variety of food. But you are not longing or hating. In other words, food is only remaining in your stomach or in the plate, never in your mind. The place for food is the plate or pit, never mind. When the food is in the mind, it is sickness. That is gluttony. That is all. What do you mean? But a person who runs away from food will be shifted to the mind. Person who runs after food will be shifted to mind. Runs after, runs away. Dono ka
mind.
Man jaan ki tarah hai. Food ki. So the way to cross over is to be objective. Neither run after nor run. Next verse.
उदासीनवदासीनः गुणैर्योन विचार्यते गुणा वर्तन्त इत्येव यो वतिष्ठति नेङ्गते उदासीनवदासीनः गुणैर्यो न विचार्यते गुणा वर्तन्त इत्येव यो वतिष्ठति नेङ्गते
He who seated like one unconcerned is not moved by gunas. Who realizing that only gunas function is firm and not moves not. This is a verse where he is saying a clear understanding is there in the person that Purusha does not have gunas, it's only Prakriti that has gunas, and Prakriti is functioning. Therefore, Prakriti functioning does not affect it. So when I see somebody behaving, gunas are functioning. Not immortal. Not that person, gunas. So I understand, okay, that day a particular guna or guna man, he behaved that way. So, I have no personal animosity towards that person. But, I should be clear enough to understand that he has that trait. And can you say when that trait is going to manifest? So, keeping a guard and moving with them is not wrong. Really? Certain people have a certain trait.
But I understand that it helps me. Like if I'm living in a certain city, I know that it can rain. Suddenly. It not necessarily rain today, but it can rain. So I keep an umbrella with me. So he says, the person is unconcerned as to what the gunas manifest. Because it's very clear, it's only gunas that are functioning, not the person. So I don't allow myself to identify with the prakriti in me, not prakriti in the world. Therefore what happens? I become pure. When I go home, in my mind, nothing should be. As I went, I should go. Then I am a clean slate. But what happens? When I am interacting, I am carrying something with me, no? I am interacting with gunas. I am carrying some gunas with me. When I am interacting with money. See, Vedanta doesn't say don't interact with money, don't interact with people. All the Vedanta says is you should interact with such capabilities so that when you go back, money is not there in your mind. That's all. So when you are unconcerned to the functioning of the gunas, then the gunas do not affect you. And it's the Purusha and Prakriti combination is X, Y, Z. And Prakriti is functional, not the... So he says, moves not. He moves not. Meaning what? He is not influenced, affected by the functioning of the Buddha. How? Understanding that only Buddha is functional, not he is functional. The mistake that we do is, Shivani has done, Shweta has done, Mukta has done. When I say Mukta, I mean the person, right? Is it the person or the guna? Mukta is a combination. Shweta is a combination. Of what? Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti has sattva rajas, tamas. Purusha is not having sattva rajas, tamas. Only Prakriti. Now, Prakriti and Purusha coming together is all of us. Go back and read verses 1, 2, 3, 4. You understand what I'm saying. This is already discussed. There is Purusha, there is Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti coming together is you, me and all of us. Prakriti has the gunas. Purusha does not have any gunas. So what happens is now, because of my unintelligent mind, I am assuming myself to be the guna, while I am actually the purusha. Similarly, I am assuming you to be the guna, while you are actually the purusha. Hear me. When I understand this, will my interaction with you or anybody move me, affect me? Cannot. When is it affecting me? Means, I only have intellectual knowledge. But practically, I'm still looking at you as good. That is why I am not able to have the same kind of love towards you. Because I am thinking you are that goodness. You are also the same person. While dealing, I may deal differently.
I think only that is valid till the gunas negatively affects you. Because then your own, I mean, none of us are seen. And each of us have gunas ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the people that we interact with also have certain gunas, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always the ones that we react negatively to, which I feel are the same in, that I think we react to the same gunas negatively. As individuals, forget what others are. For ourselves, it's the same obstacle that we repeatedly cannot
run away from others.
So, when let's say Shwetaka Swabhav is the guna that really bothers me, how am I going to get over it? Unless that's all I see, right? Mm-hmm. So intellectually, I may say that okay, she's part of the universe, I'm part of the same universe, and we both have that. Mm-hmm. But the minute her negative gunas affect me personally, mm-hmm. I'm not seeing her as a part of the same universe as me. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing her as somebody who's affecting my life negatively. Mm-hmm. And my first reaction would be to protect my own. Like as a mother, the first thing I do is protect my kids. Mm-hmm. Before me, before my husband, my kids come first. Mm-hmm. So if she's going to do something negative to negatively affect my children, I'm not seeing her as a universe. I'm saying back off, stay away from my kids.
So
I'm saying that jo aap keh rahe the, ki one has to overcome and recognize that those gunas are the Saptati, not the Purush.
Therefore, I don't hate Shweta. Therefore, I don't hate Sadhana. Okay? That love will be there. But, having understood that they have been straight, obviously I will protect. So, protection, even I will do, not only you. Only thing is, in you there will be hatred, in me there will be hatred. That's all I'm saying.
So how do you protect without some level of negativity coming in? I'm protecting out of fear, right? Fear is negative. So if I'm... Well, clearly I'm not understanding some part of what you're saying.
Yeah, I love my dog. Right?
No, follow the same example.
I'm just giving science to an example. I love my dog very well. Right? But the dog I know is hungry and it is eating its food. Okay? Are you with me? I love my dog and my dog plays with me many times. Right? But the dog is really hungry and it is eating its food. Are you with me? At that time, I will not bother it. Even though it's my dog, even though I love it, I won't go and play with it at that time. That's all. So, all we are trying to say is, in that case, are you able to understand that I'm not going, negatively feeling about the dog. That's the nature of the dog. It's hungry. It will probably imagine that I'm going to take the food away. What instinctively it may bite me. It happened to many people. Even my own family it happened. The same dog. Something happened. It can maul. Right? Even in Ludhiana. In fact, a girl also came for the lectures to Tommy's lecture. Some of you may know Adish Ji, you know. In Ludhiana, Adish, I think Oswald, Adish Oswald. Adish Oswald's daughter went to her cousin's house, small girl, and the cousin's house they have a dog with whom? With that dog she keeps playing every time she goes. That particular day, the dog had a certain wound somewhere, and when playing she touched. And the dog bit the face of the girl. And and then she was operated and she is now better. That little scar is there. She's become perfectly fine. Now, what I'm trying to say is they have a certain instinct. So you see. So I said, this is the nature. As with that understanding, I keep. There is no answer. Where is the negativity here?
No, so what in her example, when she says that the fear is tough, there is what she said, like there is...
You are not talking about a person who is not yet gone to that level of understanding, obviously negativity will be there.
No, but for her, forget
for
the person,
let's
talk about yourself. No.
For
forget
us to grow...
I told you already. For us to grow means what you are supposed to do.
Study.
You must reflect, think, move with people, bring in this knowledge while moving. See, now I am saying this objectively, it's up to you how you take it. I personally feel, whether I should say all or many, here doesn't seem to be doing reflection. Now, please do that. Anybody, even if I listen to my own guru for many years, will only help me to some extent. Only reflection will help me beyond that. What I am trying to say is, when will my negativity go towards any being?
my negativity towards any being will go to the extent I reflect and bring my reflection in practice. And when I do that, sometimes what happens, initially my negativity will come but quickly go away. Remember FIR, I even said this before. F means frequency, I means intensity, R means response or reaction. Frequency of my negativity, intensity of the negativity, and then response to that action. Everything will change. In the beginning, only negativity in the beginning. But with little knowledge, reflection and all that, negativity comes, but quickly I am able to overcome that. As I grow more, spontaneously positive. That's a long way.
What is that? What do you say that you should realize that you can't change someone? You have to change your own reaction or your own, and do whatever is necessary. Like you're saying, protect whoever you want to protect or things like that. So you have to just be aware of your reaction and take your necessary precautions.
You can't do anything. The negativity outside will be there, but it's not, like, you, again, like not hate.
How?
It will change the way you look at the person where
other things
you can. Yeah, you will still have to protect yourself.
Supposing you have been a person who will criticize easily, let's say. You can pass words about somebody easily, let's say. Now, with this knowledge and reflection, with sadhana and all that, a time will come where in your mind, you probably, that negativity started coming. But while you are expressing it, you realize, and at least what will happen is, you will stop verbalizing. It will happen. But that will happen only if you are putting an effort. If you go study and reflect, and then, that is first step. There is another step, which is, you must put in that into practice. Then you will
see. You should be true to yourself. You're thinking anger, or you're thinking wrong, you will not tell that person.
Pardon?
Not even. You tell that person, the both thinking. That's what you said earlier.
You said that if you criticize somebody.
You're criticizing, you have a tendency, therefore you have to bully, you have to dress, you have to behave. That's each person to themselves. How are you, right?
Not say.
No.
It should stop coming to
him or you.
I'm saying, you know that Buddha, Somebody goes to Socrates and I want to say something about somebody. They said, immediately Socrates, just wait for a minute. What you are going to say, is it the truth? He says, no. Is it going to benefit that person about whom you are saying, or you? No. And what is the third one he says?
Can you confirm it? Something like that.
Huh?
Can you confirm it? Do you know if it's the truth? Is it going to
benefit them?
Is it going to
help?
Something like that.
No. For all the three, he said no. Then he said, why not for it? You know, in other words, when you think, there is a difference between expressing everything I think and manifesting those things that have to be manifested. There is a difference. What is the difference between people who are inside in the jail or asylum and us? You cannot say that we do not have the same greed or lust or whatever that they have. But we exercise control over our impulse, this is not. Are you with me? When I exercise control over my impulse, then I am normal. When I fail to exercise control over my impulse, then I need to be rehabilitated. If it is due to some chemical imbalance or something, I need medicine for that. I may need certain treatments for it. If it is to be done, if I probably need to be confined in an environment, I am confined. Therefore, the difference is this. Therefore, all the thoughts I get about you, I don't have to express it to you. But if I think these are things that I must say. But there again, how I say it. Because if my intention is to benefit you, then I will say, okay, what way I can put it across to her. Right? Having said all this, there may be certain times you might have to say something direct. Only in those times you will say it. So therefore, not necessary that all my thoughts about you or anybody, I have to express. In fact, I should not. That doesn't mean I'm a hypocrite. When do I become a hypocrite? I become a hypocrite when I'm having something else in my mind and I'm saying something else. Not really concerned about you, where me is more prominent. Only that is true. So just because I don't say everything that comes to my mind about you, doesn't mean I'm a hypocrite. I need to really have my intellect directing my thoughts into expression. Shakespeare in his Polonius advice says, your thoughts should always be expressed after passing through the intellect.
Passing through the
intellect. Buddhi.
Basically think before you do something.
When you are constantly doing that exercise of reflecting and thinking, in the context your thinking becomes much faster. You don't separate it, okay, let me go to the room, little bit think and come and say. No. Your capacity to think is spontaneous. That's all there is.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnamivavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. मनसेन्द्रियैव बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्य सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.